Behind tab 14, there is a review of experimental fishery permit applications. Again, that's, I believe, tab 14. Chris Kellogg.
The council received two requests for comments from the fishery service, or rather, they're published in the Federal Register since the last council meeting. The first was for a study conducted by University of New Hampshire Lobster Conservancy, New England Aquarium. And the purpose of the study was to monitor egg-bearing females for lobsters. The exemption requested was from a lobster regulation, so we commented that we had no objection. The second proposal was a GMRI herring experimental fishery proposal, and the purpose of that study is to evaluate the potential impacts of midwater trawling on herring aggregations. Now, this study is actually an extension of a study that started in 2008, and the exemptions requested were from the seasonal closures for herring in management areas 1A and 1B, certain gear restrictions, and possession limits for herring trip limits. All the herring caught would be deducted from the RSA allocations. And we commented that the council had no objection to that proposal, which would be consistent with the comments we submitted in 2008. And that's it. Any questions?
Anyone on the council? No comments. Thanks, Chris. Also note, behind tab 14, document number 3, there's the guidelines for individuals requesting exempted fishing permits. I just draw your attention to it in case people want to review the process. Okay. Anything further? Dr. Pierce.
Yeah, regarding the process for getting the EFPs, does this particular document describe timelines, how far in advance you have to request an EFP? Does it go into that kind of detail?
Not sure, David. I'll have to look through it once again. I think, is Mike Pentney here? Mike, at one point you did a lot of work revamping the experimental fishery permit process. Is my memory serving me right?
That's correct. There's all the information that we have that we've made available is available on our webpage through the Northeast Regional Office homepage. And there's several guidance documents which talk about the timeline and all of the required elements of an application, the process. There's, you know, a sort of decision tree to help you figure out whether your project requires an EFP or might qualify for a letter of acknowledgement. There's the specific things that need to be included in the application, as I mentioned, the types of exemptions that, you know, are fairly routine. Versus those that we would consider essentially non-starters, and then the ones in the middle that require, you know, some fairly rigorous review and consideration.
You all set, Dr. Pierce?
Yeah, that's fine. I know that the service has done a lot of good work on the EFP process to make it faster, more efficient, so that individuals can get the permits they need in a timely way. I guess the only other question I have is, this is dated June 1, 2005, therefore it still stands. There have been no changes to this particular set of guidelines.
Is that right, Mike? Okay. No changes. Okay. I guess that's it under this agenda item. Again, this is the purpose of this, the reason I had this put into our agendas every meeting is to give the council or to draw the council's attention to either comments that staff that have reviewed the EFP proposals have made, or to make the council aware of, if the timeline lines up, make the council or afford the council the opportunity to review and provide comment in those instances where the timelines do line up. Okay. I guess we'll break for lunch. Be back at 1 o'clock.